Amen. That's the way to live in a daily life. Amen. Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, living in dependence upon the Lord. And that is where we end up falling short, and we end up living in stress and fear and all kinds of things when we're not dependent upon the Lord and living in trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all right, take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verses 16 through 18 as our text here this afternoon. The title of the message this afternoon is The Great War. Galatians 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." There is a real tug of war in this life. If you are any kind of conscientious Christian at all, you'll realize and you know that there is a battle and a tug of war that happens between, inside of you, the flesh versus the Spirit. And, you know, for me, and I would say if you're honest, if you are a conscientious Christian, if you're not, well, then you probably don't give much thought to it. And that's a sad condition to be in if that is your case. But for me, it's a daily thing. This war, this fight, this battle that happens is a daily thing, even a moment-by-moment thing. I mean, somewhere along the line in a day, the flesh wants control of something. And it manifests itself in different ways. You know, maybe it's temptation that comes along to sin, but maybe it's attitudes. This is a big manifestation of the fact that the flesh is in control when you've got a rotten attitude. And, you know, that carries over into how you respond to your spouse. It carries over in how you respond to your siblings. It carries over into, you know, into your responses to the Lord. A rotten attitude is simply a manifestation that the flesh is in control. It comes across and manifests itself, you know, when you lose your temper. That is not a Spirit-led, you know, reaction. And I'm just as guilty as anyone. I mean, in all honesty, I literally actually kicked the dog the other week because I was so mad at him. And I lost my temper. And it showed itself. And the dog felt it. I really kicked him because the last time I hit him, it really hurt my hand. I'm kidding. I'll tell you the story, and you'll see that I'm imperfect. I'm human just like you. Oh, no. Stop judging! We're out there having a little, you know, campfire in the driveway and cooking some hot dogs and just a family night, a family time. You know, we're supposed to have some good times, and here the dog decides that he wants to join in, and he's over by the table where the food is. He ends up dumping the whole table over, everything out onto the ground. You know, no glass broke, which was good. I was so mad at the dog. And he knew it, too. He, like, starts running. I went, bam, and kicked him because I was so mad at him. And it was a terrible example to my daughters and my wife. That is a manifestation of the flesh being in control in those moments. You know, it could show itself with simple, simple annoyances. Who doesn't have those, right? Because we live with people that cause us to respond and say things that are unkind or just in an irritated way. Those are not Spirit-led, Spirit-filled responses. Those are fleshly. And this is an example of the fact that there's a tug of war. The flesh wants control. And that's the way it is in this life that we live. However, We are to be like Christ, though, in spite of the fact that we have this old flesh. And when we get saved, that moment we get saved, listen, we are to be dead to sin, to live no longer therein, and sin should have no more dominion over us. That word dominion means control. It means rulership. And the question is, what is in control of you or me in a day? How we live moment by moment demonstrates to us what actually is in control. Now let's learn some principles here from this text. Three things. First of all, we find in verse 17 that the old nature is what we are, but not who we are if we're saved. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." All right, so what does this tell us? This phrase at the end of verse 17, "cannot do the things that ye would." That is a phrase in the Greek language that means to choose, it means to prefer, it means to be inclined. All right? So what he's saying is this flesh is lusting against the spirit. There's desire there. It's not the same kind of lust as in sinful lust. But it is this desire, and what it carries with it, the attitude or the mindset of control. Okay? And the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. It's a war going on, so that you cannot do the things that you would, the things that you prefer to do, the things that you would choose to do, the things that you're inclined to do. This is speaking in the spiritual realm of the new man. The new man chooses and wants and prefers to do that which is right. The spiritual man does. And this war is going on so that you cannot do the thing that you would prefer to do, the thing that you would choose to do, that I would be inclined to do. Listen, I am flesh. That's what I am, but that's not the real me. The real me, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, wants to do right, wants to please the Lord in a moment-by-moment basis. The real me wants to do right all the time. Have you ever felt that way? I just wish, Lord, that I didn't have this flesh. I wish that I could just do what's right all the time and never lose my temper or never say anything that's unkind or never, you know, judge somebody else in self-righteousness. I wish that I could just please you all the time. Have you ever felt that way? That's the spiritual man who always wants to do right, to please God, because he's a new creature created in Christ Jesus. But I can't because of this war. Sin comes from within us. The losing of the temper, the saying of the unkind thing, the rotten attitude, the commission of something wicked. That comes from within. And sometimes it's very shocking what comes out of me. Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes it's very shocking when it comes out. But listen, we should never, ever be surprised as if we could never do such a thing. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 1. First John 1 and verse 7. And don't go to sleep. We barely got started. Open up your eyes. You sit down and all of a sudden it's nap time. It's like we had turkey or something for Thanksgiving. All right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We have verses like 1 John 1:9 for the saint God, it's a promise and it's a confidence builder to realize that, look, we do sin, but if we confess it, if we're honest and humble, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's self-righteousness in the person to think that I could never do such a thing. You know, sometimes that's the way people are. Somebody does something or has something going on in their life, and it's not a good thing. It's a terrible thing. And we look at them, and they're like, oh, that's awful. And we have this attitude of, I could never do such a thing. That's self-righteousness, because wickedness comes from within. Any one of us are capable of anything in this old flesh. What occupies the thoughts, though, and what occupies the mind in a day will ultimately result in actions. And maybe that manifests itself over a long period of time, but the thing that we think about, the thing that we meditate on, the thing that draws the attention, you know, and the imaginations of the heart and of the mind, eventually those things become actions. And it ought to be a real wake-up call to an individual. If there are wicked thoughts that are rolling around in a person's head and we dwell on them and we allow them to stay there, those things will become actions sooner or later. Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts, to run away. Don't let it stick around. Run away. Look with me in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And it's not always, you know, physical things or sins that are committed. Sometimes it's attitudes, and sometimes it's annoyances and tempers. And when the flesh has control, most of the time, all of a sudden we start to develop a reputation. We start to develop a name for ourselves. What do you think of so-and-so? Oh, well, this is what I think of them. Well, if it's not anything that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord, that is a demonstration of the fact that that person is known for letting their flesh have control. In Mark chapter 7, verse 18, and he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Listen, the capability is within us all to do evil and to do wicked. And what occupies the thoughts will ultimately result in actions. And it's only self-righteousness that causes us to think, well, I could never do that. Yeah, you could, if the flesh has control. That's our sinful nature. But at the same time, we have a new nature, empowered by God, empowered by God's Spirit to overrule that old man that wars against each other. Look at Romans chapter 7. Paul demonstrates this here in Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 18. Romans 7, verse 18. Here's the inward struggle with the sinful desires. Verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So here's the struggle. Here's the desire to do right, But in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. How to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For to delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, but then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Our old sinful nature is ever present, but at the same time, we have a new nature that is given to us, empowered by God and His Spirit through Jesus Christ to overrule that old sin nature. So we find in verse 17, the old nature is what we are. I'm flesh, but it's not who I am. Who I am is the guy who really wants to do right. But it demonstrates this war, this great war that's going on. Number two, go back to our text in Galatians 5. We find here as well, read verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh desires, and the flesh has an inordinate desire for that which is evil and that which is wicked. And we find the second principle here, that the flesh will always seduce, but the flesh can never satisfy. The flesh will always seduce, but it will never satisfy. The flesh always promises happiness and fulfillment in a thing, but it can never satisfy. So often we're guilty of feeding our flesh, and then after that we wish that it wasn't so strong. You with me? Why do I fight so hard with this flesh? Well, we're guilty of feeding it so much. And then we wish it wasn't so strong. The flesh will always promise happiness. It'll always promise fulfillment in a particular thing. But then it will never satisfy. The flesh will allure, but it can't deliver on its promises. The flesh only ruins. That's all it does. You know, This is how things happen like this. You know, a young lady talks herself into being interested in a guy who isn't even saved. And then she has this thinking that, you know, my godly example is really what's going to, you know, be attractive to him. And it's what's going to lead him to the Lord. Baloney! That's not going to happen. You know why? Because it's a violation of God's principles. It's an unequal yoke that is not intended to happen. And you can't win over the flesh with the flesh. Does that make sense? Flesh against flesh will never win. The end result is a young lady in that position violates God's commands with an unequal yoke. She ends up with that guy and she ends up miserable. And she ends up ruined because her flesh was telling her something that she believed. She was talked into. It was promising happiness. It was promising fulfillment with this person. But it only ended up in ruin. And there might be another desire in the heart for the right thing. Oh, I want this person to be saved. That's a good desire. But you know what? It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. Right. Thank you. That means amen in Greek. It's never right to do wrong to do right. It's the same mentality you know, that causes a it's all flesh. It causes a person, I'm witnessing to some person, well, this person said if I would go to church with them, then they would come to church with me. What? It's all backwards thinking, but it's all flesh. And it only it seduces, it promises something that seems fulfilling, but it can never, ever, ever satisfy. The point is, don't ever listen to your flesh. It's lying to you. Let me say it again. It's lying to you. Don't listen to it. Oh, this won't be so bad. You know? Oh, well, I'm just trying to be friendly. I'm just trying to be nice to a particular individual. And then the heart is deceived. The flesh seduces, but it can never satisfy. But then we see the third principle in verse 18. And that's this, that the flesh is powerful, but it can be rendered powerless. Verse 18 tells us, but if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The flesh is powerful, but it can be rendered powerless. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 25 of the same chapter says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Go back to verse 18 there where it says, if you're led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. That phrase, under the law, it's a Greek word, and it carries the idea of being compelled by conscience or willpower to do right. And so Paul is saying here, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not compelled with just willpower. You're not compelled with just the conscience to do what is right. And the fact is, we'll never ever be successful under that way of thinking. I'm just determined I'm going to do right. We'll never be successful with those kinds of things, with the conscience and with the willpower. Because flesh against flesh will never win. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. That word walk means to live. It means to abide, really, to dwell. Walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, abide in the Spirit, dwell in the Spirit. That's the key, and that's the power to overruling the flesh. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This verse is speaking of control. Be not drunk with wine. You know how somebody gets drunk and they're under the influence or the control of alcohol. It controls them, makes them do stupid things. But he says here, be filled with the Spirit instead. Let the Holy Spirit of God be what controls you, what is influencing you. Living, walking into this in the Spirit of God's control is the key. You know, when moments of frustrations come, there's something else that is controlling us that keeps us from losing our temper. Are you with me? There's something else that's controlling us that, you know, you get into a discussion with your spouse that keeps you from saying unkind things. There's something else that is in control, that is dominating us, that's ruling over us, that keeps that flesh under control, that keeps us from having the wrong attitude towards another person. It's the Spirit of God. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but I know that when I am walking with the Lord, and when I give my day to the Lord and I start out right, you know, things are a little less annoying or irritating. Or whenever there's those discussions, I'm not so right on the tip of my tongue about ready to say the wrong thing. there's something else that's suppressing that and controlling that, and you take it much better. Or you say, you give the right kind of response, something that's helpful and encouraging and not something that is going to just throw fuel on the fire. The attitude about the day is not all the time, you know, and every response is like a sword or a dagger. The tongue is controlled. The attitude is controlled. Those moments of frustration don't cause you to lose your temper or say the unkind things. The Holy Spirit of God is what renders ineffective this old flesh. It's an issue of control. That's what it's an issue of. Who is controlling you? Two things and I'm done. What do we need to do? If the flesh is powerful, but it can be rendered powerless, how does that happen? What do we need to do? Number one, first of all, we need to neutralize the power source. Neutralize the power source. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How do we do that? Well, you can't do it in the flesh. We know that. 2 Corinthians 10 in verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." We need to neutralize the power source with spiritual weapons. And Paul says that the weapons of our warfare, they're mighty, they're powerful, they're able to pull down strongholds. You know what that word pulling down means? It's a Greek word that means to demolish into extinction. Wow! So the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to pull down, to demolish into extinction the rotten attitudes, the tongue that speaks perverse things or hurtful things, to demolish into extinction the fleshly lustful mind that imagines wicked things. The weapons of our warfare, spiritual weapons, the Word of God, is able to pull it down, demolish it into extinction so that it doesn't control the life. You know what the word strongholds means? Castles, fortresses. God's weapons, the Word of God, are spiritual and strong and powerful to demolish into extinction those castles that Satan has built up, or the flesh has built up in the life, those fortresses that seem impenetrable, the thing that you just can't seem to get over, the thing you just can't seem to get victory over. Oh, the weapons of our warfare are spiritual and mighty to pull down and demolish those castles. They can't stand. And we need to neutralize the power source with spiritual weapons. Those castles of the flesh can be cast down by obedience to Jesus Christ. Listen, we're commanded to not love the world or the things of the world or your flesh, and we're supposed to fight with spiritual weapons, the Word of God. That is what is able to vanquish and conquer and neutralize the power source that is the flesh. But then secondly, we need to yield ourselves to spiritual control, to Holy Spirit control. Neutralize the power source with spiritual weapons, but then yield ourselves to the Spirit of God's control. What is that? Listen, that is a day by day and a moment by moment thing. It is a choice that we make to yield to God day by day. And here's the thing, folks. Reality tells us, listen, that it cannot be, okay, I started my day right in the morning, I'm good till the next day. Are you with me? It's not that. I was talking to somebody earlier about a relationship. And a relationship with a spouse is built on more than an I love you in the morning. I love you, honey. I guess we're good till the next day. There's a whole lot more to a relationship than that. It's moment by moment. It's hour by hour. It's day by day. And it's the same thing in the spiritual life. My dependence on the Spirit of God and my dependence on the Lord has to be moment by moment. My yieldedness to Him has to be moment by moment. Yielding to His control. You know, because those temptations, those attitudes, that flesh, it doesn't give it one good try in the morning, and then it's over for the day. That flesh is always, always, always wanting control. That's why it's a war, and it's a choice that we make to live, to walk in the Spirit. Lord, I give you my day today. I know what my tendencies are. You know what these things are that are bothering me, that bug me. Lord, I don't want to respond in the flesh. I don't want to be controlled by the flesh. I want your Spirit to control me, to use me, to bring glory to God, to the Lord through the day, through my life. Lord, you control me. I yield to you. And moment by moment throughout the day, Lord, I need your guidance right now. Lord, my dependence is on you. I don't know what to say to this person or how. I don't know how to respond. Lord, help me to not respond in the flesh with those creeps at work, etc., etc. Right? Maybe it's the ladies with their husbands. Help me not to respond to those creeps at home. It's a moment by moment matter of control. And it's the only way to win that great war. Do you understand this war? Do you fight this war? Romans chapter 6, and I'm done. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What we choose to yield ourselves to is our master. We've got a choice. Yield to the flesh, let it have control because it's always fighting for it, or yield to the Spirit of God. Unto righteousness. It's a great war. The only way to win it is to live under the Holy Spirit's control. Is that what you do day by day? Do you start your day every day with, Lord, I want you to have control today. I yield myself to you. Do you go through your day saying, Lord, control this old man. Help me to put down this flesh so that I have spiritual responses and a spiritual way of thinking. Do you live that way? Is that a reality for you? Or is it something you just don't really think about? Kind of just go about my day. Well, if that's the case, more than likely, the flesh is what is controlling you. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be reminded of these principles, these truths, and the power to overrule this flesh, that sin should not have dominion over us anymore. That we don't have to walk in sin or walk in the flesh if we know Jesus Christ. We have a power source that is much greater, the Spirit of God. Help us to yield to Him. Father, grow us in you. Lord, if there have been some fleshly responses, Lord, I pray that there'd be a willingness to go and apologize and make things right, and then a determination to walk in the Spirit, to not live that way anymore. Father, that you would be glorified through our lives. Lord, that you'd be able to use us in your service. Father, I pray that you'd have full control over the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.